unleashed a tsunami of calls and texts over the bad highways in the province. So I've tried to curate a few more of these texts, and I'll get to them a little bit later on in the show. But lots of people wanting to weigh in saying, yeah, that CAA Saskatchewan worst road list excluded one, and it's this one. And for most people, it's the one close to their home, close to their community. So we'll get to more of that coming up in just a little bit here this morning. So I remember the very first TED Talk that I saw, and I thought it was unique in that it was very short in time. You know, these motivational TED Talks are usually, what, 10, 12 minutes long? Literally, they will talk about a topic or an experience, a piece of knowledge that they've gained, a process they swear by. It's usually interesting. It's kind of good life facts, information, those types of things. I think it's a pretty cool format, and I love the fact that in Saskatchewan, in a couple of different places, we've featured TED Talks. Well, coming up mid-May, University of Regina will be having Saskatchewan TED Talks happening again. This is an event, actually, that they've done before. I'm glad to have a couple of guests joining us this morning that can talk a little bit about it. Two guests, one of which is an organizer, another one who is actually a participant and giving a TED Talk, and I'll get to her in just a little bit. But I want to start chatting today with Moses Anjorin, who is the organizer and curator of TEDx Regina 2025. Mission Possible is the name. Moses, thanks so much for joining me this morning.
Hi. Thanks for having me.
Good morning. So tell me why this event has been so successful over the last couple of years that it's been done.
The most important thing is the impact, actually. So our theme, our general theme for TED Talks in Regina is ideas in action. And the most important thing is to come to these events, to listen to these talks, and to eventually take them home and take action. And so those actions that translate to impact is how we've been able to sustain this since August 2023, when we brought it back to the city of Regina. And there's been great feedback, there's been great turnout, and we see the impacts of these talks in people's everyday lives.
So I kind of did a bit of a summary, but I don't know the actual practical. What are the rules in a TED Talk? How much time do they have? Are there some things that they have to abide by?
Absolutely. So the theme of a TED Talk is ideas worth spreading, right? So we spend a great deal of time searching for speakers. We like to call them eating gems, right? And the most important thing is you need to have an idea that's worth spreading. Your idea can be cliche, it can be political, it can be divisive. Your idea needs to have the power to create impact to hundreds of people in the on event day and potentially millions of people around the world. And you only have to do this in 18 minutes or less. That's actually a rule. So, there are a lot of rules, but those are the main rules that we actually go to source of. Do we go to source for these potential powerful ideas that has the ability to change the world?
I love it. And I love the positivity side of it, Moses, because I feel like we have a lot of negativity. We can find negativity and negative things to talk about. So the fact that this has to be focused on these positive things, the ideas worth spreading, I love that idea. So you've got a slate of presenters lined up. Is there a theme? How many presenters will be involved in the event on the 17th?
So this year, our theme is Mission Possible. And the idea behind the theme is there's a lot of problems and global issues right now. And it's very overwhelming when you think of how to solve them. So our 8 speakers are going to share powerful ideas on how to begin to break these problems into small units and to solve them and begin to take action respectfully as individuals, first from our city, our province, and prevent potentially the world. So this year we have 8 speakers, Michelle Brooks right here in front of me. We have John Bailey, the CEO of Regina Food Bank, Thomas Agistavropoulos, a professor at the university, Dave Suchin, Caleb Dahlgren, Billy Groom, and Betty and Eggie.
Yeah, I had a look at the list. So we were putting this conversation together and we said, yeah, we need to have Moses on the show. And again, it's Moses Anjorin, who is the organizer and curator of TEDx Regina. And then I saw my friend Michelle Brooks' name on the list and I said, okay, we got to get Michelle in here as well. Michelle is an Indigenous entrepreneur. She's been a passionate advocate for Indigenous empowerment and reconciliation as the founder of Brooks HR Group, which which is an organization I've had the opportunity to work with. She was at FHQ Developments and sells a great cup of coffee and some pastries at Venue B, her coffee shop and catering company in Regina. Michelle, thanks for being here today.
Good morning, Evan. Thanks for having me here.
So when you got the call or the tap, how did that work when you got involved in this opportunity with TEDx Regina?
Yeah, it was actually a very exciting time because I have this little bucket list of things that I want to do, and I'm pretty aggressive at making sure that that they're happening here. And so when I got the call, I said, this is amazing. Stephen Hall actually recommended me because he had seen one of my presentations or one of the panels I was on. And actually, this hadn't gone on my bucket list that long ago, so I was just ecstatic that I was able to have the opportunity to meet with Moses, and then he liked my story and said, you know, let's go ahead. Let's get you as part of this this opportunity. And it was amazing.
Is that what you're doing, Michelle, is telling your story? And what's the message that comes through that?
Absolutely, I am. So I think if you're doing a TED Talk, you absolutely want to make sure that you are inspiring people. But it's not like a presentation. It's 7 months of preparation for, you know, an up to 18-minute inspirational chat. And so I can do presentations out the wazoo. That is fine. But, you know, finding time to find the right message, I think it absolutely has to be based on your lived experience in order to make it real and to make it passionate so that people want to leave and make some impact, create some change after.
Mm-hmm. Michelle Brooks is my guest, one of the presenters this year at TEDx Regina 2025. Again, the theme this year is Mission Possible. What is your takeaway, Michelle? What do you hope people that listen to your presentation, what do you hope they take away?
Well, the title of my presentation is Life is Too Short to Do Anything Other Than What You're Passionate About. And Evan, you know a bit of my background mm-hmm. here, but, you know, had this life-changing moment during COVID. It's almost like an unreal book that I could write about what happened. But, you know, it kind of helped me to push forward and not stay where I was anymore, no longer stay content. And then I made some goals as to what I want to do in my life. Didn't let anything really stop me from making those happen. Made a total change in my life. And then, you know, unintentionally became who I am today. And so the message I really want people to walk away with is that, you know, there's never going to be a right time to move forward with your passions and make the change and be the person that you want to be in the world. So, you know, start now, even if you have to start more on a part-time basis, just keep moving forward so that you're working towards those goals and passions.
I love it. And I have heard you speak before, Michelle. You're a great speaker, so no doubt you will have a successful talk. Michelle Brooks, one of 8 speakers in TEDx Regina 2025. I want to come back to Moses Anjorin, who is the organizer and curator. When you listen to Michelle Moses talk about her passionate journey and what she hopes to convey as a message, did you see the messages in past years resonating with the audience? And how do you tell about that connection and the difference that your speakers are making?
Absolutely. So first thing is we started our speaker curation and selection sometime in September. So and then I had the opportunity to meet with a host of people to gauge the connection, to gauge the availability and readiness to actually go on to give a TED Talk. Because like Michelle said, giving a TED Talk is way different than anything. I like to tell the speakers that it's one of the most great opportunities you'd ever have in your life, because when you give a TED Talk, it gets recorded, it gets posted on YouTube, and that's access to millions of people forever. So your children, your grandchildren get to watch this. And I like to tell them, I say, when your grandchildren watches this in 20 years, what do you want them to get from this? And I think that really works because it makes them sit down, think, and how do I want to connect this to, you know, hundreds of people on event day and millions of people around the world. So first thing we check is your idea great? Does your idea have the ability to impact people? And I draw this from personal experience because I started TEDx Regina 2 years ago because a TED Talk changed my life. Right. Wow. So I am a lived experience of how a TED Talk changes my life.
How did it?
In 2016, I was a young boy and I stumbled on, a TED Talk on YouTube, The Power of Vulnerability by Brené Brown. And, around that time, I was very young. I was going through, just some things, personally. And that talk just really moved me. It was like Brené Brown broke down why I was feeling the way I was feeling. what I needed to do. And around that time, if I didn't stumble on that TED Talk, I probably would not be where I am today. Wow. So I like to give credit to Brené Brown that she actually changed my life. Mm-hmm. And the funny thing is, I most likely would never have to meet Brené Brown. She lives in the United States. She doesn't know who I am. She most likely would never know who I am. Mm-hmm. But she's a big part of my story because she gave a TED Talk.
I love it. I love that you shared that.
Exactly. That's the connection that we like to have with our speakers, right? Mm-hmm. Like, how can you impact people without seeing them or not seeing them from your lived experiences and your story?
You've got a great lineup of speakers, Moses. It's happening on May 17th at the Education Auditorium, University of Regina. Do people have to register, buy tickets? How does that work?
Yes, you need to buy tickets, and tickets are actually closing in a few days. So I'd encourage you to get yours. It's just you go to our website, www.tedxregina.ca, or catch us on social media, TEDxRegina, to cop yours. It's just $75, and I promise it's the best $75 you'd ever spend.
Good stuff. Well, thank you, Moses, for being here. Michelle, best of luck with your presentation. I know it's going to be great.
Oh, thanks so much, Evan. I'm really looking forward to it.
Great to have both my guests. Again, Moses Anjorin, the organizer and curator of TEDx Regina 2025, themed Mission Possible. Michelle Brooks, one of the passionate presenters. She's a great advocate for Indigenous empowerment and reconciliation in her day job. She runs a business, Venue B Coffee Shop and Catering Company. But really, as you heard her explain, the basis of the speech is life is too short. Just get out there, grasp, do something you're passionate about. And she's got a great story to motivate you along with that. Again, you want tickets? TEDxRegina.ca. You're listening to 980 CJME and 650 CKOM. Back on the topic of Saskatchewan's worst roads, the CAA Saskatchewan list of top 10 worst roads came out this week. On it, maybe something in your community or a highway that leads to your community. Weyburn Highway number 35 is on the list. I noticed Matthew here with a thought about Highway 18. Out of Estevan should be on the list as well. Apparently, it's on the list to be redone this summer. Highway 9 from Northgate to Carlisle should be the worst highway ever. That's Corey and Oxbow. It's not on the list. Doesn't mean that it's not bad, but it's didn't get the votes. By the way, top three on this list, Highway 4 outside of Dorintosh, which is just north of Meadow Lake. Saskatchewan 339, which is the highway by Avonlea, and then Saskatchewan Highway 5 by Buchanan. That's number one on the list. It's been on the list, actually, I think three or four times in the last 5 years, so it's consistently seems to find itself there. But we're asking the question, are there highways that should be on the list that aren't? And you're coming out in droves. 1 mile directly north out of Weyburn, Highway 35 is extremely bad. So that's the one that I think three people have texted in on. Driving it twice a day, every day, has allowed me to memorize the potholes. Sounds like it's a battle between the city, the RM, and the highways, as far as whose responsibility it is to repair it. Highway 318, half gravel, half pavement. In my 10 years as a first responder, the only fatal accident I've been to around Carnduff were single vehicle accidents on this road. Railway Street in Indian Head is bad, says Jeremy. 55 from Choice Land to Meath Park is a goat trail, says Kurt in Candle Lake. 55. Okay, I'm just trying to picture where that is. The Bradwell Access Road, Highway 763, is on the list here of people weighing in as to what should be bad. Evan, you got to acknowledge that Sass Drive in Regina is bad. Jace from Regina saying it's absolutely horrendous between Winnipeg and Broad. Ironically, right in front of the police station and the old SGI testing facility. There is some irony there. Bryn says, I've never seen the road so bad in Saskatoon. Every day I'm worried I'll blow a tire, destroy a rim. You go by the same huge pothole every day without them seeming to get fixed. Jerry and Prince Albert, Highway 2 from PA south to the junction of Highway 5 to Humboldt. I dread that stretch when we have to take it. It's heaved. It's rough. It's terrible. Lots of people I know commenting, and a few people sending pictures of not just the potholes, but the chunks of pavement, which obviously are a whole different animal. Both equally dangerous. And I'll throw a couple more here. Highway 3 between Spiritwood and Shelbrook. Very rough. Ward from Spiritwood. Thanks for that. Blake and Carlisle, Highway 9 from Carlisle to the USA border at Northgate, Highway 13 from Redverse to the Manitoba border. Both of those are bad. Brian says, you know, it's really not just Warman Road in Saskatoon. Warman Road tied for 10th on the CAA Saskatchewan's worst road list. Brian says, it's not just Warman Road, all the streets in Saskatoon. But that leads me to the question, how do we spend millions on a library that only a few people use as opposed to the roadways? And he goes on to talk about the danger to an ambulance, for example, on the way to Royal University Hospital. So choices in spending is a big one. You know, the province, we've had the Minister of Highways on the show before. The province really does try and set out priorities in terms of how they're going to deal with the road repairs that need to get done. A number of people, I know I saw a text from Dwayne Drew saying, the minute that we sold off the crown that was looking after road construction and maintenance, things went downhill. Saskatchewan doesn't have enough money to make construction companies a profit-making business when it comes to road development. So, pointing out the fact when Alberta companies are building Saskatchewan highways, something seems to be wrong. That's our friend Dwayne in Carrot River, which, by the way, there was a couple of people in the Carrot River area telling us about the bad roads up there as well. Thanks. I know I didn't get to all of the text, but thank you to everybody that joined the conversation this morning here on 980 CJME and 650 CKOM.